Welcome to the Azure for Industry podcast. We're your hosts, David Starr and Paul Marr. In this podcast, you hear from thought leaders across various industries discussing technology trends and innovation, sharing how Azure is helping transform business. You'll also hear directly from Microsoft thought leaders on how our products and services are meeting industry's continually evolving needs. Vamsi Komineni is Principal Program Manager for Azure Storage at Microsoft. Vamsi and his team focus on Azure Storage and Data Lake. He's responsible for business strategy and growth, along with industry relationships like media and entertainment, automotive, healthcare, and more industries in addition to that. Welcome to the show, Vamsi. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
And today, unfortunately, I'm missing my partner, Paul, who is always on the show with us. Paul Marr is unable to make it today, so it's just going to be you and I, but I think we're going to have a great conversation. So to start, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about your team and the products that you make.
Great. Thanks, David. So the Azure Storage team provides the unstructured data platform for the Azure Cloud. You know, fundamentally, if you think about it in terms of sort of your on-premises storage, we provide all the different unstructured data services. We have, you know, block storage that's attached to your virtual machines. We call it Azure Disks. And you get that in different flavors from, you know, hard disk backed to SSD backed all the way up to what we call Ultra Disks for mission critical workloads. In relation to, you know, your shared storage or file storage, we have a couple of different services. We have Azure Files, which provides SMB access to your shared storage and has a great connector for Windows file servers on premises. We also have Azure NetApp Files, which is a service that we ship together with our partners NetApp that allows us to have a great experience for customers using shared storage in Azure, and particularly for NetApp customers. On the object storage side, we have Azure Blob Storage, which is sort of the canonical thing. When you talk about cloud storage, you think about object storage, and Azure Blob Storage is our object storage platform. Recently, we've also extended Azure Blob Storage to have data lake capabilities. So it's significantly enhanced now and supports, you know, Hadoop workloads and other kinds of analytics queries against data stored in the Azure Blob Storage data lake.
When you mention Hadoop, are you talking about that typical sort of Lambda data processing pattern that we see?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's sort of this notion, kind of separated into a couple of different paths. One is you have data streaming in from lots of devices and things like that, and Blob Storage can function as a great data sink where you can take in data from millions of clients and store that. But then usually there's a post-processing step involved where you hook it up to a Databricks cluster or run a MapReduce job or using a Hadoop cluster. And with the data lake storage capabilities, you can seamlessly mount that data as a Hadoop file system into one of these analytics clusters.
That's great. And one of the things I don't want to pass over too quickly, because I think it gets brushed aside a little bit in conversation, but it's so helpful and handy, is the file storage service. Mm-hmm. Because so many people in enterprises are used to click on the Z drive, right? And the Z drive is some shared file store on some server under an IT person's desk, right? And file storage is a similar service, but it's provided by Azure, backed up. We have a single source, and we can mount that through SMB mounts, right?
Yeah, no, that's a great point, David. And I think, file servers in particular can be a pain point for, IT professionals, because you host mission critical data for your application. So let's say if you're an architectural firm or something, you have all your CAD CAM files on there, and any downtime on those servers, on those file servers, is pretty painful for both the IT departments and all of the internal folks that are dependent on those file shares. The reason why with both Azure Files and Azure NetApp Files, we've taken this notion of a managed PaaS service and sort of melded the convenience and compatibility of a file share with the power and flexibility of a fully managed file service. So when you use Azure Files, what you're getting is actually a serverless managed file service, if you will. There's no one, Windows file server that's serving up your Z drive anymore. It is the entire distributed Azure storage platform. So you have no single points of failure, and you get all the scale and pay as you go flexibility and all of that with Azure Files. But on the other side, it just looks like an SMB share that you can net use to and use on your server machines or on your client machines. And as you mentioned, other things kind of get very easy as well. Backup becomes, just a couple of clicks, and you're able to get snapshots and snapshot management and all the lifecycle management for that. So you can do previous version restores and things to that effect. And further with Azure Files in particular, we have a connector for on-prem Windows file servers called Azure File Sync that allows you to take your Windows file server and convert it into an on-premises cache for your file data that's now in the cloud. So you can get local branch office, have local branch offices without great internet access, have great file performance through that connector. So you're absolutely right. They're sort of super important not to forget about and make sure customers and partners have a great path, while migrating applications into the cloud.
And as long as we're on general Azure storage, I have to mention something. You said Blob is sort of canonical unstructured storage, and Blob storage is so handy because each blob that is present is addressable via a URL, and people are doing some very interesting things with this. I was doing this myself the other day, hosting a single page application inside of a Blob store, and it serves up the application just fine. So there are a lot of inventive ways people have started using Blob. You were talking about very large volume and data processing, and that's great stuff too, obviously, but there's some inventive ways people are using Blob storage. So that's interesting.
Yeah, definitely, David. I think, even for sort of hobby developers and sort of folks like us who love to tinker with stuff, Blob storage can give you, storage to, for pennies on the gigabyte and really give you a flexible, powerful platform. And it's used in a number of different, app dev frameworks. It can be used, as hosting data, to host data behind a WordPress site. It's really quite flexible and scalable, not just for the, as you say, the enterprise scenarios, but also sort of the day-to-day scenarios. And it really is flexible and capable in that respect.
Well, we've talked about a few use cases here, but I'm very curious how we use these tools at Microsoft ourselves. What kind of scale are we supporting internally? Because, Microsoft's a fairly large company. We use our own products, of course. So what do you see internally done with Azure Storage?
Yeah, that's a great question, David. And really, Azure Storage was one of the first services that we built as part of the Azure platform. It's now, into its second decade, believe it or not. And the first preview versions of Azure Storage were launched in 2008. And the GA service, the GA of Azure in 2010, included Azure Storage.
That's so fascinating to think it's been around that long. It takes a while, right? To talk that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're sort of used to thinking of cloud as a recent phenomenon. But the development of Azure goes back to around 2007 when a small group of us started building and experimenting and building the platform here at Microsoft. So, over those years, one of the strong tenets for us has always been the following, which is, you know, we can't really, you know, ask our customers to trust their mission critical data to us if we don't host our own mission critical data as Microsoft on our own storage platform. We call that, you know, in some sense, you know, the canonical term or the old term for this is dog fooding, right? Is, you know, do you eat your own dog food and do you host all of your mission critical data on the platform? And we have been for, you know, nearly that entire time over the last decade, to the point where if you look at any Microsoft service today, it's probably running on top of Azure Storage, and, you know, either directly or indirectly for any kind of data persistence needs. I'll give you a couple of examples of this and just to kind of set a sense of the scale. Sure. Let's start with sort of enterprise data, right? You know, what do you think of when you think about enterprise information worker data? You think about Office 365, SharePoint Online, Teams, OneDrive for Business. All of those services are hosted and stored their data in Azure Blob Storage. So when you store a document into SharePoint Online or you collaborate on a document, what's actually happening is that data ultimately ends up on as blobs in Blob Storage, and there's exabytes of data from our Office 365 customers across tens of thousands of companies, all hosted at very high scale inside the Azure platform and Azure Blob Storage in particular. You look at Teams, and, you know, as we've all been working remotely for the last few months, the, you know, usage of Teams for just sort of video calls and recordings and all of that has just exploded. And all of that data is actually stored in Blob Storage as well. The transcoding happens in Azure Media Services for those recorded calls and videos, and the hosting is done out of Blob Storage. Another good example, you know, kind of transitioning over to the consumer side of our of the services that Microsoft runs, all Xbox, there's a whole bunch of Xbox services that rely on Azure Blob Storage for their persistence layer. So if you game or you have kids who game and they're using cloud save games, that's stored on Azure Blob Storage. You know, any kind of game downloads or game assets that are stored, those are all kind of come off of Blob Storage. And another good example in that world is, you know, if you have kids and they're into Minecraft, there's a lot of Azure, related functionality that Minecraft depends on. So there's this huge gamut from our, enterprise services all the way into our consumer services that, are reliant on these unstructured data services that the Azure Storage team ships.
Well, you said exabytes, which is not a term most people use in their day-to-day jobs. So that's obviously huge scale. And since the services have been around so long, I guess it just makes sense that we've taken more and more dependencies on them over time. How about Data Lake?
Yeah, that's it's a good question. Data Lake capabilities on the platform are a more recent thing. The GA of the Data Lake capability on top of Blob Storage was February of 2019. And even in that realm, I think we have a bunch of different internal services using Data Lake capabilities in order to run business analytics, post-mortem analytics on clickstream data, view data, et cetera, to kind of build out that that picture. We'll talk a little bit more, I think, later about external industry examples and the like. And even there, we've seen great adoption of the Data Lake capabilities, because this notion of having, huge amounts of data, petabytes or tens of petabytes of, call it data exhaust, if you will, that, firms are collecting and then analyzing and trying to make build insights out of. That's a place that, the scale of object storage with the cost efficiency, connect that up with the analytics capabilities, and you've got a really, really good option for data usage.
Data exhaust is a great term. I haven't heard that before. Is that, does that get to the idea that a lot of organizations just have this philosophy of let's store everything and then we'll come back and search for patterns, whereas others are looking to make some intelligent decisions about what data to store ahead of time?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. This has evolved over time. If you look over, a couple of decades in the storage industry, historically storage was very expensive. And, when measured in the how much it cost you to store a petabyte of data. So, the trend was to always aggregate and keep, build these data warehouses and cubes and, sort of have very structured data storage, right? And that's the history that, that served us well for a long time. And, things, products like SQL Server and the like and data warehouses of various ilks. But as what's happened over the last decade, as cloud storage technology has really sort of driven the cost of cloud storage down, is, you have this notion where you can actually start to say, I want to keep everything or almost everything, right? But, the challenge becomes one now of not, can I store this, or do I need to aggregate it? But how do you make sense of that data, right? Mm-hmm. How do you draw insights from petabytes and petabytes of data that no human can ever really look through? And that's where I think, you've had this revolution of analytics technologies, starting sort of with the web search engines and MapReduce jobs and things. But now, you have technologies like Databricks, Azure's own Synapse Analytics that help you sort of bring these very, very disparate, very unstructured data sources together and run queries against them, deploy machine learning algorithms against them. So you really have this kind of paradigm shift that was enabled by these underlying enabling technologies that really kind of has changed the dynamic on that. So I think, for us as well, that focus, we clearly see that where, across a bunch of different industries, customers now come to us and say, hey, we want to store every piece of data we ever generate or will ever generate. Do you have a system that scales for me? Do you have a system that allows me to extract insights? And finally, do you have a way to do that cost efficiently? Because like everything else in life, our budgets, are not infinite and, we have to operate within those things. And that's the sort of essential set of challenges that we look at nowadays in the Azure storage platform.
And now let's take a moment out to listen to this very important message.
Did you know the Microsoft Commercial Marketplace allows you to find and purchase leading Microsoft certified solutions from Microsoft partners? The Microsoft Commercial Marketplace includes Microsoft AppSource and Azure Marketplace. Each storefront serves unique customer requirements and different target audiences, so publishers can ensure solutions are available to the right customers. For applications that integrate with Microsoft 365 products, visit appsource.microsoft.com. Get solutions tailored to your industry that work with the products you already use. For B2B Azure-based solutions, visit azuremarketplace.microsoft.com. Here you can discover, try, and deploy the cloud software solutions you want.
One of the things, of course, that happens at Microsoft is that our product development is often driven by developer requests. Developers are the heart and soul of using our products, of course. But what current or pending capabilities of Azure Storage or Data Lake are the result of industry requests that you might be getting?
There's definitely a great, one of the really fun parts about working on cloud technologies is you have this very tight loop between your customers, your partners, your developers, and ourselves as the folks building the platform. It's actually really fun because you can build things in a much more agile way. You don't have, multi-year product cycles. You can, learn about what customers are trying to do on the platform and go build those capabilities. So I'll take a few examples and kind of talk about them in different industries. And, at a high level, if you look at, let's say, healthcare, right? The notion of hosting regulated data with HIPAA compliance and other, compliance that's, geolocale specific, has been an interesting journey for us. Even something as simple as, you know, ingesting data from a hospital or a medical software partner, where you have to have these very complex chains of custody. You have to just be able to prove data provenance, you know, prove that data has not been tampered with. You know, these regulated industries have a lot of these challenges, and it's not just healthcare, it's financial services, it's pharmaceutical industries. So that's driven a lot of, you know, good functionality over the years, you know, both in our data box product to that allows us to do offline ingestion, as well as the kinds of data verification and, you know, what kind of hashes we store against data. And as, you know, all the way into launching, you know, a couple of years ago, warm storage for object storage. So warm capabilities on top of object storage across all tiers of object storage is not something we sort of, you know, started with, but it was something that our financial services customers made very clear that they needed something that had those same capabilities that they used on premises. So that's a good example. Another example is, for example, you know, with retail and media. When you're talking about serving data to customers, you know, historically we do this off of our object storage platform. And one of the things that, you know, popped up with these customers is, hey, we're trying to, you know, use blob storage as the backing storage for a user visible action where, you know, when we have a cache miss from the CDN and come back to object storage, you know, the time to first byte is super critical. And that's not something object storage systems do well by default, because they're, you know, tend to be sort of in you know, systems built for the aggregate throughput rather than, you know, sort of getting one piece of data very, very quickly. That led us to build, you know, what today is Azure Premium Blob Storage. And we have some leading retailers that serve all of their product catalog images off of those systems. And you know, that's sort of a very interesting thing, or we have media customers who do 4K video editing, again, off of Azure Premium Blob Storage. And these are use cases that, you know, these were very directly supplied by customers in these industries. Another area I'll touch on is high-performance computing, right? That's probably, you know, the move of high-performance computing into the cloud across different industries has probably, you know, done a lot you know, to drive the capabilities of our platform over the years. For example, you know, when we started out, we didn't really think of per object performance, right? We always thought about scale out as opposed to scale up. And, you know, that's a place where, you know, if you look at oil and gas, autonomous driving, you know, financial services, all of these industries had high performance computing needs that that really required us to make some deep investments in scale of the object storage system.
Those are great observations. And I really want to thank you for this first of two discussions on Azure Storage, Vamshi. There is going to be a lot more available in part two. The second part of this interview will be available shortly, listeners. So watch your feed. And in our next episode, we're going to drill down even deeper on how industry demand is moving the state of art forward for data storage services. Vamshi, thank you so much for joining me here on the Azure for Industry podcast.
Thank you, David. It was great to be here.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Azure for Industry podcast, the show that explores how industry experts are transforming our world with Azure. For show topic recommendations or other feedback, reach out to us at industrypodcast@microsoft.com.